Good morning, PGC. This is Pastor Ian. Thank you for joining us for our Sunday worship service. Today I want to talk to you guys about show and tell. Now, when I was in grade 4, one of the things that I did for show and tell was I brought a tiny little black and gray rock that I had been given from one of my family members. And I can remember sharing it to my whole class, and I told everyone that it was worth $1 billion, which was so obviously a lie that I look back now and I'm kind of embarrassed about it. But at the time, I wanted people to look at me and see me as somebody who was, you know, cool. Or I came from a family with a lot of money. And then I was somehow important because I had this super rare and special rock that nobody else had. I wanted people to look at my life and think better of me. Because I was going to a school where there were lots of people who came from very wealthy families, and they were not afraid of showing how much money they had. Show and tell was my chance to be like, I'm so cool. And it lasted for a whole of 5 seconds, and one kid started yelling, "There's no way that's worth $1 billion. You're so lying." And then the whole thing fell apart in my face. Show and tell is something that we do as children in our schools. But it's actually something that we need to be doing as Christian people in our world. Showing and telling other people about how God has blessed us, how He has answered our prayers, how He has been our rock and support in times of trouble. When we look at Daniel, we see that in response to God answering his prayer and giving Daniel the insight and the knowledge about what exactly the king's dream was, Daniel takes it as an opportunity to show and to tell the king how his God has the answer to his mystery. We see that showing and telling other people about who God is and what he has done for us is an important and crucial part of our Christian walk, and one of the best tools we have to share the Christian message, the good news of Jesus Christ, with other people. So if you have your Bibles, I would ask you to turn with me now to Daniel chapter 2. And we are starting in verse 46, and we'll be going until the end of the chapter. It reads like this. It says, "Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell face down. He worshipped Daniel and gave orders to present an offering and incense to him. The king said to Daniel, 'Your God is indeed God of gods, Lord of kings, and a revealer of mysteries, since you are able to reveal this mystery.' Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many generous gifts. He made him the ruler over the entire province of Babylon and chief governor over all the wise men of Babylon. At Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to manage the province of Babylon, but Daniel remained at the king's court." This is God's word. So what we see here is that Daniel has been presented with a challenge. The challenge was, how do we actually answer the king's question about what is his dream? It's one of those things where if somebody came up to you and said, "What was I dreaming about yesterday?" I'm looking at you like, "I don't know, how am I supposed to know? I can't even remember what I dreamed about yesterday. I can't even remember what I had for lunch yesterday." But Daniel's able to do it. He goes to the king, he says, "I will be able to do this because the God that I worship is going to reveal this to me." And so, he actually does it. He prays with his friends, God gives him a dream, and in the dream he understands how exactly the king has his own dream, his own prophecy. And look what the king does. The king falls face down on his face, where he worships Daniel. He presents him an offering, he presents him with incense. And then he says, "Your God is indeed God of gods, Lord of kings, and a revealer of mysteries, since you were able to reveal this mystery." What you see here is that Nebuchadnezzar's understanding of who this God is a direct result of Daniel telling him something all the way back in verse 28. Or in verse 28, Daniel says, "But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has let King Nebuchadnezzar know what will happen in the last days. Your dream and the visions that came into your mind as you lay in bed were these." So Daniel specifically says, it's only because of God that I am able to tell you what your dream is. Now, Daniel could have done a different thing. He could have said, "You know what? I am this great master of the mystic arts, and I have access to all of your dreams and all of this knowledge." And he could have taken credit for himself. King Nebuchadnezzar wouldn't have known any different. He would have just seen the result, right? Instead, Daniel chooses to honor God. He chooses to show Nebuchadnezzar that the only reason why he is able to understand the dream is because God is the one who revealed it to him. And because of that, Nebuchadnezzar actually sees something. He sees some of who God is. He sees that he is the revealer of mysteries. He calls him God of gods, Lord of kings. He honors him with his words. Now, just in case we forgot who Nebuchadnezzar is the last person on earth who should be able to see who God is. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar is the king who destroys Jerusalem. He's the guy who destroys the temple of God, Solomon's temple. He's the one who steals the Ark of the Covenant. He's the one who has taken God's people and brought them into exile. This king is the one who can see God. How is it possible that a man with such an evil history of being against God is able to see him? Because Daniel shows him exactly what it is that God has done for him. He witnesses to Nebuchadnezzar about what God has done in his life. Now, when I use this word witness, in this case, it literally means he is witnessing. He is saying, God did this thing for me, and because of that, I'm doing this thing for you. How do we share what God does in our lives? When God blesses us, when he answers our prayers, who knows about it? Who sees it? There's this temptation that we have to not share with people what is going on in our lives. And there's a tendency within Christian culture to allow people to believe falsely that God has already done all the good deeds that he's ever going to do. Now, we don't literally say that. Now, there are some people who actually do say that. But most of the time we say it by basically just referring to what God has done in the Bible and saying, well, that's what God has done. We say, you know, he's the one who freed the Israelites. He's the one who, you know, does the parting of the Red Sea. He's the one who has the manna from heaven. He's the guy who, you know, he gives Daniel or David the ability to pick the stone and kill Goliath. He's the one who brings Jesus Christ to earth. He's the one who saves you from your sins. All these things are in the past. They're in the Bible. Now, people who are not from a Christian background, we'll look at the Bible and be like, well, that's just your opinion, man. That's just your book. I don't even agree that that is the book that I should be reading. I think it's just one among many. The problem is when we rely on the Bible exclusively to show people what God has done. Now, the Bible isn't itself. It is God's gift to us. And it is useful for teaching and instruction and witnessing. But we also have other tools in our lives as well. Now, one of the things that happens in Mark's gospel, and if you will turn with me quickly to Mark chapter 7, Jesus is going through the region of Tyre, and as he's going around, he passes by the sea, and as he's passing by the sea, a group of people bring him a deaf man who has difficulty speaking, and it reads and says, they begged Jesus to lay hands on him, so he took him away from the crowd in private, and after putting his fingers in the man's ears and spitting, he touched his tongue. Looking up to heaven, he sighed deeply and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak clearly. He ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more they proclaimed it. They were extremely astonished and said, he has done everything well, he even makes the deaf hear and mute speak. Notice what Jesus does. Jesus performs a miracle and then immediately tells people, don't say anything about it. It almost seems to contradict what I am saying to you. Where I'm saying we actually need to be sharing what God does in our lives with other people. When God blesses you, when he honors your faithfulness, with the mundane things of life, but the things that matter to you, do we share them with other people? Do we proclaim that God has blessed us with our homes, with our spouse, maybe even your children? If you got a really, really good deal on your car, with your new job, when he has healed you from sickness, when he has given you strength while you endure your present time of suffering. Do we act like these men and the deaf man, where we proclaim it, no matter even when Jesus himself is telling them to not say anything about it? Our problem is we stop in verse 36, when Jesus says he ordered them to tell no one. We hear that, we're like, good, you want to be humble, you don't want to brag, you don't want to show off, you don't want to tell people, you know, God actually gave me a really, really good deal on this house because then people might be jealous of us. Or they might think, oh man, that's how much money you have? Oh, that's what you think a good deal is? We stop when Jesus says, don't tell anyone. When really what we see in Mark's gospel is that the more Jesus says, don't tell anyone, the more people proclaim it. Because they can't help themselves.
because that is how much of an impact God has made on their lives. Imagine just for a second, you're this man. He can't talk really well. He's deaf for crying out loud. And after so much time of not hearing a single sound, this man, Jesus, lays hands on him and all of a sudden he can hear again. He can hear maybe for the first time. And that's the joy he has. And that's the joy that causes people to say, he has done everything well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. This is a prime example of how these people proclaiming what God has done for them in their lives is a way of witnessing and evangelizing to their world about who God is and what he has done for them. Now, sometimes when we talk about evangelism, we think about it in the sense of apologetics. Now, chances are, if you don't know what that word means, you're in the right camp. Apologetics is when we're providing a justification, a reason for what we believe, and having different arguments for what exactly we actually do believe in. And sometimes we can think that's what it means to evangelize, to have all of our arguments clearly thought out, well put together, ready to go, just like in your back pocket. If somebody mentions an argument, bam, you got it. But that's only part of it. There's a time and a place for apologetics. I went to the University of Toronto. There's plenty of time for apologetics. But there's also a time for being vulnerable with people, for being real with people, for being able to open up your life to others, to being responsive when the Holy Spirit says, share this with somebody, to being willing to do it. Because people can be afraid of sharing arguments for Jesus Christ. I know I was. When I was first a believer, I was afraid of actually mentioning the name of Jesus. Because for me, I was so worried about getting things wrong and not having the right answers. I didn't want to let God down. I was afraid. But we can be afraid also of being vulnerable with people, about letting people know our weaknesses, about letting people know who we were and what we were like. Because there's a risk that people might judge you or treat you differently, or look at you differently, or think less of you. There's a danger in being vulnerable with people. When tragedy strikes you, when you have an absolute miserable experience in your life, there can be a tendency to just kind of push it down and stamp it away and forget that it ever happened, and to never mention it to anybody ever again, and say, you know what, it was terrible, but I'm going to move on with your life. Or we can use the tragedies in our lives as moments to witness, to help, to support people who are in a similar situation. One of my oldest memories is, as a 6-year-old, going to the funeral of a baby. It was a child who was a year old who had, I believe it was a neurological disease, and they didn't even make it past a year. And I can remember how tragic it was, just hearing all of the adults crying and weeping. And I didn't even know this person, but I was already sad. And I was like, man, that's terrible. It's just a baby. And in moments of tragedy like that, we as Christian people are called to love one another. And I'm not telling you that if you have suffered a similar tragedy, someone, you have to share it with them. All I'm asking is if you will trust the Holy Spirit, that when you are called to share, that you do so. Because there are moments in our life when bad things happen. And we can either choose to just accept the fact that bad things happen and move on with our lives, or we can use it to grow as people, to develop a relationship with God, but also to help somebody else who's in a similar situation as us. I've had a person who's very close to me, and they were never going to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. From a logical point of view, they just did not believe it. They would never argue it. They would never engage in any discussion where that was even a possibility. Until one day, when something changed, there was an accident at their workplace. And they experienced a miracle where they should have been seriously injured. There was a chemical explosion. And they should have had significant damage done to themselves and to others. And instead, they were spared. And I can remember looking at this person and thinking, this is what it took. This was what it took for this person to see God, really see what God could do. Sometimes it's not logic that we need. Sometimes it's just God working and showing people how he can work in our lives and in theirs. When you pray, what do you pray for? Who knows what you pray for? What are the things that are closest to your heart, and who knows about it? What have been the moments when God has answered your prayers so obviously to you that you can't help but be like, yeah, that's God. I'm in Ukraine right now. I'm here with my wife. She's holding the camera right now. And for me, and anybody who knows me, that's the biggest example of God answering my prayers in my life. Because I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him. There are so many different stories that I don't have time to share with you guys now about how God intervened in our lives to bring us together. But spend some time with me, and I'll share all of them with you. Because those are not my stories anymore. They're not even our stories. But they are examples of how God has blessed me and my family. And because of that, I can share that with somebody who has no idea who God is, and they have to listen to it. Because we live in a rather polite culture, and we live in a world where it's easier for us to disagree about the issues or the facts, but it's harder for us to disagree with stories, but experiences that you've had. And it's not about convincing people one way or another, it's about sharing with them and showing them your experiences. I was a stubborn 17-year-old who would never listen to any argument for God without having a counterpoint, or three, or four. And I'd be willing to talk anybody's ears off. You are not going to argue me into the kingdom of God. But you know what got me there? You know what changed my heart? When I was broken and lonely and alone, when I hated myself, and I thought, is this all that my life has to offer? And I saw somebody who's in the exact same position as me have their life transformed by Jesus Christ. I can remember on the night that I actually felt God's presence for the first time. I can remember telling one of my youth leaders, I wasn't even a Christian person, I was not even a church person, telling one of my youth leaders, how do I know that this God is the real one? And all they could say was, I don't know any of these others, all I know is this God and what he has done in my life. Prayer and our experience is an opportunity for us to share what God has done, to share our faith with people, to share with them the examples in our lives about how God has actually delivered for us. We can share our faith with people who don't even agree that God is real, and to show them with our lives what it looks like to be transformed by Jesus Christ. Nebuchadnezzar's response, if you actually look in Daniel chapter 2, it's not perfect. It's not as if Daniel all of a sudden changes Nebuchadnezzar's heart. It doesn't happen. Look what Nebuchadnezzar does in verse 48. Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many generous gifts. He made him ruler of the entire province of Babylon and chief governor over all the wise men of Babylon. So see what Nebuchadnezzar does? He has this experience where he's like, whoa, your God is for real. He's not like, he doesn't just talk a big game, he actually does it. And Nebuchadnezzar honors God. He says, your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of mystery. And then he honors Daniel. He promotes Daniel. He gives him gifts. He makes him a ruler over the entire province of Babylon and the chief governor of the wise men of Babylon. So even though Nebuchadnezzar sees in part, he doesn't yet see in whole. Evangelism, sharing our faith with people, it's not about a one and done affair. It's not like you only have one shot, one opportunity to share Jesus with somebody or else you're done, you failed. It's a process. It's an experience. It's not something that just happens overnight. It's the accumulation of the Holy Spirit knocking on their hearts over and over again. Nebuchadnezzar gets it wrong. He praises God, and that's good. But then he rewards Daniel instead of actually following after God and being loyal to him. Because immediately after this, Nebuchadnezzar builds this gold statue and gets everyone to worship him. The gospel has had a breakthrough, but it hasn't yet conquered his heart.
And there are people in our lives that we share the gospel with. You may be sharing your life and the gospel and how Jesus has affected you for decades, for years. You may have grandchildren. You've been praying for them. You've been just sharing your life with them. And yet it doesn't seem like it's taking. And you're like, when, Lord, is it going to happen? And sometimes you think that they finally get it, and yet they don't understand it. When I first became a Christian, I thought that I had to obey every single rule in the Bible. And I went to my mentor, and I'm like, tell me what I have to do. Tell me all the rules. And this person said, you're never going to follow them. It's not possible. In my brain, I was still thinking like I used to think. I used to think that I had to be legalistic. You got to follow every single rule. And I was so proud and arrogant because I thought I was the most righteous person in the world. And everybody else was not even close to my level. They were like baby Christians. They were, you know, like they were just from Christian families. They didn't actually know what it meant to serve and worship God. It took time for me to realize that I am nothing. And I am nobody. And I have no right to tell anybody how great I am, because I'm not. And some people might say, well, that's just false humility, but it's not. I know deep down that I'm not anybody special. The only good things about me are that which God has given me. Nebuchadnezzar only sees in part. He's not perfect. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict his heart. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict our hearts, to open our eyes. It's not my job to argue somebody into the kingdom. It's not my job to bring someone to faith. Because I'll never bring anybody to faith. It's the Holy Spirit who will bring people to faith. It's the Holy Spirit who will make the difference, who will cause the blind to see. All we can do is share our lives with people, to share how God has blessed us. To be vulnerable with people. We pray as a church for different things, but it can be hard for us when people don't want to be vulnerable, to share the struggles in their lives, to share the praise items that they have. Because that means going out on a limb and risking people looking at them differently or judging them. Prayer is when we share our hearts with God. And when we pray as a church, it's because we want to share the joys that we have together. We believe that when two or three are gathered, that is the moment when Jesus actually is with us in a special way. And we long to pray with our brothers and sisters and to rejoice when there is good news and to mourn with them and to support them when they are going through tragedy. That doesn't mean that we share everything with everyone, but it means that when the Holy Spirit calls us to share, to be vulnerable with a brother or sister, to say, I know how you are feeling. I know what it's like. My dad, when he was 13 years old, both of his parents died in a plane crash. And I don't know what that's like. I don't know how to relate to that. I don't know how he must have felt. I don't know how to be there for him, but there's somebody who can. There's somebody who does know what it feels like to lose a parent, to lose a mother or a father. And it is that person who has the power to share how God helped them through tragedy. But it is their choice whether or not to be vulnerable and to proclaim what God has done. Or to not. Or to just listen to the first part of what God says, what Jesus says, and to not tell anyone. But when we share our lives with people, we do something that is greater, far greater than any potential risk that we might endure of getting judged. Because one of the biggest fears people have coming to the church is judgment. But the second is that it's not real. That they won't be changed. And people don't want a fake faith that just surface level covering. What people want more than anything when they come to the church is to be changed drastically. And when we show people how God has blessed us and changed us, It allows them to see how God can change them. But that doesn't happen unless we share what God has done in our lives. I'm a sinner first. Let me tell you how God changed my life. Then you might know how he can change yours. It takes the person who has known Jesus to share first. It takes somebody who has already been brought to life, who has already died to their sin, but who has been brought back to life, given eternal life and a place with God and his family. We have an obligation to share that with people. Not so that we will get the promotions or because people will be like, wow, great job. You're a shrewd negotiator. You got that raise. Or you know what? You have the best wife or man. You're just the best person ever. You're the best friend. You're so good. You're so smart. You're so generous. God really loves you. That's not why we do it. We do it so that God might be honored. So that God might be praised. Because he alone is worthy of all of that. When God saw me as his enemy, he decided to love me. When I deserved judgment, he gave me mercy. And because of that, my life is his. All of my life. The good and the bad. My best day and my worst day. So when he chooses to bless me, I have an obligation to share that. To not hoard that for myself. To do it in the right time, in the right way. Doesn't mean you have to share everything to the entire church all the time. But for us to be praying in the Spirit. To trust that if God has blessed you, that it is for a purpose. And it may not just be for yourself, but it might be so that someone who was once blind might see. Maybe there's somebody in your life who's blind, physically, but also spiritually. Maybe there's somebody you know who struggles with sin and just can't seem to shake it, who can't seem to accept the fact that they need grace, they need Jesus Christ. Pray for that person. But also, pray with other people. Share the burdens of your heart with others. Brothers and sisters that you respect, that you trust, but be willing to witness to how God has loved you and changed your life to the non-believer also. To go out on a limb and say, look at what God has done for me and what he might do for you. Because that's the only way that Nebuchadnezzar ever gets to see. Because Daniel chose to honor God. Let's honor God together.